That was Vumani Mkhize reporting for us from South Africa. You're listening to NewsHour from the BBC. I'm Razia Iqbal. Now, we heard a little about the Second Amendment at the top of the programme, President Trump talking about protecting the right to bear arms in that Rose Garden address overnight. The First Amendment is also making the news. You'll recall last week that Twitter made an intervention over President Trump's tweets. Now some staff at Facebook have walked out saying President Trump's posts should be reined in from their desks at home. They took, yes, to Twitter to accuse the chief executive Mark Zuckerberg of inadequately policing President Trump's posts as strictly as the rival platform has done. It was a rare case of staff publicly taking their CEO to task, with one employee tweeting that thousands had participated. Let's talk about the limits of free speech when it comes to the age of social media that we live in, with Mark Stein, who is a conservative broadcaster and author, and Scott Lucas, professor of international politics and American studies at the University of Birmingham in the Midlands here in the UK. Good afternoon to you both. Mark Stein, let's start with you. What do you make of what Twitter decided to do, which was an intervention which highlighted that there was some fact checking to be done on a couple of tweets that President Trump put out?
I think, Razia, with respect, that's putting it a little more formally than what was done. The label they appended to the president's tweet was that CNN and The Washington Post disagreed with it. Well, CNN is a broadcaster like the BBC and The Washington Post is a newspaper, and they're free to disagree. The idea that that is some kind of formal fact check is absurd. Twitter and Facebook enjoy legal immunity that the BBC doesn't enjoy, because they're not a publisher, they're a platform. The minute they start appending statements to tweets and Facebook posts, the minute they start moving them down and putting them metaphorically on page 57 of the newspaper, they've become a publisher. And in that case, they should lose their legal immunity.
Scott Lucas, what did you make of what Twitter did?
Well, I think there's three basic points here beyond the fact that Mark's is incorrect about what Twitter did. It simply said, get the facts. Here's the three points. One, freedom of speech is not absolute. Freedom of speech, for example, has responsibility. You cannot libel. You cannot incite violence. You cannot pursue hate speech. You cannot put out disinformation, which has consequences. Secondly, the fact is that in the past week, Donald Trump has not only fraudulently said that postal voting is fraudulent, which is a lie, which is disinformation. He has also effectively called a broadcaster a murderer. And then in his most recent tweets, which caused Twitter to flag them, he has incited violence against protesters who are currently on U.S. streets. And the third point of this, beyond this, is that simply claiming an absolute freedom of speech, in this case by Donald Trump supporters, is not the legal position. It's not the position that the Supreme Court has had for more than a century, including cases like Brandenburg versus Ohio. It is trying to get political cover for Trump to continue to have no restrictions whatsoever, okay, whatever the consequences are.
Mark Stein.
That's not actually true. Freedom of speech. There's defamation. There's incitement to violence. There is not hate speech. We have right now No, hate speech is basically what free speech.
Hold on, we can't hear you, Mark. Just finish your point, and I'll bring Scott back in.
Free speech is hate speech. It's for the speech you hate. That's why it exists. Twitter did not accuse him of inciting violence. They accused him of glorifying violence, which is not a legal concept. One could apply that to all kinds of great paintings, poems, books. These are not legal standards.
Sure, they may not be legal standards in that context, but Twitter clearly said that when the president's tweet warned protesters that they risked being shot, Twitter said that violated its rules.
No, Twitter actually is an extremely violent media. Twitter has the tweets of Antifa saying burn it all down. Twitter has had terrorist front groups from Pakistan who were responsible for the 2008 Bombay terrorist attacks and one last year that killed over 40 policemen. Twitter is a sewer of hate. The problem here, it's actually designed as a sewer of hate. It's driven people to suicide, just as Facebook has live-streamed murder. And none of those things apparently breach Facebook or Twitter's terms of service.
So Mark Stein, just to be clear, when we see employees of Facebook upbraiding Mark Zuckerberg, who, although he admits that he has a visceral negative reaction to the president's posts, he doesn't think that he has the right to not allow them to be put up there. So do you agree with Mark Zuckerberg in this instance?
Yes, I would favour breaking up Facebook, because Facebook and YouTube are right now more powerful than most nation states. They're more powerful than the BBC. We're facing a situation unparalleled in human history where a handful of billionaires, with whom Scott happens to agree, and that's fine, but another group of billionaires might come along, a handful of billionaires control increasing access to all information, in fact, to the entirety of human knowledge on the planet. And if they start, I don't care whether they're censoring the President of the United States or they're censoring the Deputy Tourism Minister of the South Sandwich Islands. They should not be in that business.
Scott Lucas, you're right to reply to what Mark has just said.
Well, in fact, let's stick with facts rather than a fact-free rant. First, Mark's wrong about the legal position, going back, for example, in terms of free speech and responsible speech. Secondly, Twitter has terms of service. Under those terms of service, you cannot promote or glorify violence or incite violence or carry out hate speech. That is what Donald Trump did. And you notice that Mark didn't respond to that fundamental point.
No, he did not. He did not glorify violence.
You've had your rant, Mark. Okay. If you're going to hold, and in fact, extremists across the board, left, right, extremist, religious extremists, secular extremists have been banned from Twitter for doing what they do. You cannot have one rule for all of us and then exempt the President of the United States from this rule.
No, nobody is. Nobody is exempting. Nobody is exempting the President. I've just said I want those laws applied across the board. We have had celebrities calling Martina Navratilova, Chris Martin from ESPN, Michael Moore. They haven't been tweeted. They haven't been banned.
Mark, you're diverting. In other words, Razia, to get it back to the important point, when you have a tweet on Saturday which says, look, I am going to use, or we should use, vicious dogs and we should use ominous weapons against American citizens, then that crosses a line which for you and me would lead to us having those tweets suspended. And without Mark's diversions here, the fundamental here is that if you do not hold Donald Trump to this account, first of all, basically, it's diluting what should be a true application of freedom of speech. And secondly, it's basically a political act.
We are sadly out of time. Scott Lucas, Professor of International Politics and American Studies at the University of Birmingham. Mark Stein, broadcaster and author. Thank you both very much for joining us. Let's turn to coverage of coronavirus now.